All right, did I give you the name of the message today? Okay, the message to the world and the message to us. And so, you know, we're a little bit different church in that pretty much everybody ministers. We all are involved. You know, it's not just one or two people, but we're the whole body is. And in that sense, we're all ministers. And there is a difference between God's message that he gives to us for others and what God wants to give to us from his heart. And the message that we carry to the world is completely different than that which he's... And sometimes, yes, it'll communicate over. But I kind of got this from going through the... I was just kind of looking through a set of scriptures, and I started noticing a trend and a specific thing happening in the Bible, and I started seeing it in different places. And I'll give you an example from the Old Testament, which some of you know I'm teaching on that on Tuesday nights, I think, is Jonah. And Jonah clearly was of God, a man of God. He was a preacher and a prophet, and he was really good. Of course, he had the Lord. And when I say really good, you know that the end of Jonah, he went and preached in Nineveh, which was the capital of Assyria, which was not a very friendly place to be. And they had revival, you know. And so he was a man that really had the Lord with him, and the Lord picked him out and said, I want you to go to Nineveh. But at the same time, there were problems because God had a message for him, not just for the Ninevites. And that's the thing. That's the thing. We need to realize that totally apart from our ministry or whatever else, God is constantly wanting to talk to us, to minister to us, either through the Holy Spirit or through the Son or through the Father, that we would begin to have a hotline, if you will, from them to, and even as I was sitting there, I was thinking about this, I was thinking about the fact that a tenderness to the Father or a tenderness to God would come through Christ in us because he knows the Father. And the Holy Spirit, it would come through him because he knows the Son. And so these are areas that I want to point out in the scriptures as they go along, and trying to just give a little introduction that as we go along, we're going to find that, and I'm going to particularly stay with the New Testament, but you're going to find that they are men of God or women of God, and God is moving and God is doing something, and they are truly growing in their message that they're getting for others. But some of them were missing and lacking in the message that God had for them. So start with, let me just mention from the Gospels, and we'll go from there. But the disciples, you know, when they walked with Jesus, and they did that for 3.5 years, right? So they learned how to cast out demons, and they learned how to pray, and they learned how to preach because Jesus sent them out to preach. And, you know, they learned that how to feed the hungry, and they learned that Jesus could do miracles and that Jesus gave them power and all of these things. And they were maybe in the eyes of some others who hadn't got to join the crowd of Jesus, maybe a little jealous from others that were looking at them because they walked with Jesus and they had all these things, and Jesus would turn things over to them, you know, like, okay, I'm going to send you out and I want you to go preach. I want you to go do this. And they'd come back rejoicing that the things that the Lord had been teaching them, if you will, I'll put it like this, were working. The things that he had been teaching them in relationship to ministry were working. And so my search sort of started with the fact of what did they learn, and then that's what I went through some of these things here. But then I started thinking about what didn't they learn? What didn't they learn? What they learned in ministry and what they didn't learn that was going to be more important to that. Okay. And I will put the category of what they didn't learn in the area of what was more important to him in relationship to him. What was more important to him in our relationship to him instead of our relationship to our message that he's given us or our ministry that he's given to us. So I want to use two examples. One is, if you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. If I seem a little jittery, it's because I still have not recovered from that thing that I went through. And literally, I'm shaking all over because you people scare me. Not really, you don't. You're the people that don't scare me. You love me, right?
Yes.
Thank you, Deb. All right. So what they didn't learn is they didn't learn to be with Jesus in his time when it was more important to him. Okay. So Matthew 26, verse 31, and we'll read, we'll drop down as we go. So let's start with Matthew 26, verse 31. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. And so for the first time as I was looking at this, I noticed that there was a difference between being offended, because Jesus said, you will be offended. But there's a difference between being offended and totally missing his heart at the time. Okay. And we would go, we would focus on not being offended. Certainly Peter did, right? Peter focused on that. Let's see, verse 32. Jesus said, but after I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. And Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended. You see how he kind of got off on that. But he was so committed to being committed. Can I get an amen on that one? So committed to be committed to the leader or to the task or to the cause that he wasn't present, if you will, he wasn't present for what was most important to God's heart. So on down past that verse 34, Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee. Likewise also said all of the disciples. Okay, so can you kind of picture that? Picture them all standing around, and Jesus goes, okay, this isn't going to be a good night here. You're going to deny me, and you're going to be offended at me. And Peter speaks up, and goes, no. Peter said, I will never be offended. I will never be offended. And then he says, though I die, I will not deny thee. And so can you hear Peter saying that to Jesus and all the disciples standing around? So he goes, though I die, I will not deny thee. And then the next verse says, and so said all the disciples. They're going, yep. We won't do it either. We're going to be right there with you, Jesus. Don't worry. But it wasn't even the offended part, but the so oblivious to his heart. So we want to get into that a little bit. We look at verse 36. And I wrote, but the next verse will show if we will be committed, not just to his cause, but to his heart. And honestly, I think the offended part is just presenting to them that as far as his cause, they're going to be gone. But he didn't mention his heart because he wants them to notice that there's something going on. Verse 36, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit here while I go and pray yonder. See, Jesus was from Texas, yonder. It sure sounds like it. Did y'all say yonder in Arizona? Ah, there you have it. See, I knew the Lord brought you here for a reason. All right. Verse 37, and he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began, and now notice these words, notice that something more than the offense is going to be talked about, okay? And he took them and he began to be sorrowful and heavy. This has nothing, he is not being sorrowful and depressed, if you will, over the disciples denying him or turning on him because that hasn't happened yet. He's that way because of what he's going through. And they're not in tune with that. Okay, in verse 38, then saith he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. How deep is this need? How much would it mean to Jesus if Peter, and so said they all, would be with him in that realm? And it says, this is still in that same verse, even he was sorrowful, even unto death, tarry you here and watch. Okay, well, that's where we put all the emphasis. Tarry you here and watch. But here's the words that the Holy Spirit spoke to me. The next two words, watch with me. Watch with me. Okay, so was that important to him? Yes, obviously it was important here. It was, his situation was such that he was exceedingly sorrowful unto death. And he says, tarry here and watch. But we always, again, it's always the tarry, it's always the watch. You know, we should be praying hard simply because we're Christians. But that's not working. What's working in him, it is watch with me, okay? And then verse 39, and he went a little further and he fell on his face and prayed. All right, is it not true that if you fall on your face to pray, you're probably more serious? I'm not talking about just stumbling and, you know, out on the sidewalk. I'm talking about in church or something. God's dealing with you. Jesus is on his face. And prayed and saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. And saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me? With me. So I want you to see more intimately the heart situation of the Lord, not just the failure to pray. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because failure to pray could be ministerial. You know, it could be ministerial. But Jesus is not pointing that out. Jesus is not even thinking of you're failing the ministry now. You were taught to pray. They know how to pray. But they're just not in tune with where his heart is at the times. Therefore, they can't be with him or won't be with him. And then, can you not pray and watch with me 1 hour? 1 hour. Okay. Peter said, I will never deny you. I will never be offended. Jesus is just saying, look, I don't need the distance to be that far. I just need you for this hour. I just need you to know where I'm at and to be with my heart while we pass through this time. It's been 3 years. And I want you to do this with me. So, verse 41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And the Lord showed me something. I'm not going to share it this morning, but the Lord showed me something in relationship to this this portion here. I'll just say that. But the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And then I did write this sentence, to the degree your flesh is crucified is how far you will move from just being willing to being his. Jesus said, the spirit is indeed willing. He knew that this wasn't an issue of ministerial honor to Jesus, if you will, going to church or this or that. He knew that their spirit was willing. See, he's not trying to condemn. This isn't about condemnation and failure on those kind of levels. This isn't even in that sense, it's not about condemnation and failure on any other level except the fact that he wants them to be with him. And he chose a quiet place where that could happen. So, verse 42, he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it. So, literally the way that that's worded is the only way it can pass is by drinking it. Thy will be done, he says then. Except I drink it, thy will be done. Nothing else constitutes his will except to drink it for Jesus at this point, for all of us. And he knows it. He knows it. All right. So then he says in verse 43, and he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. I think back in that generation, gravity was stronger and their eyes were just... Anyway. sorry about that. And he left them. He left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed. The Son of Man is betrayed. Jesus is betrayed. And they are still not even aware of that. They're not aware of the circumstances that are going on in his life. If you looked at all of the disciples, you know, and Jesus comes and he says, okay, arise, get up. We're going to go do something new. They would all go, man, this garden is so good for my sleep. You know, this has really been helpful for me. Jesus is going, okay, just follow, okay. You know, where are you going? Where are we going now? Was it as good as this place? Well, no, it's called the cross. All right, so I want you to notice the situation that sleep basically was the excuse. And what I said earlier was that this situation happened before they were offended. This situation of what was in Jesus' heart, was not the offended part. Do you see that? The offended part came right after he woke him up, and then the guards came and all of that, and then, and we'll read that, and they ran away. But we're always going to confuse these scriptures if we don't really understand that there's two things going on here. One is that Jesus said you'll be offended and you'll run away, but the other one was that he was going through some major stuff, and he wanted us to be with him. He didn't want us to fix it. He didn't want us to, he didn't even say comfort me or, you know, this or that. I just want you to be with me. Then when they arose and went further into the garden, that's when the offense came, and we'll see that here. So let's see, I think it's in Luke verse chapter 9. Let's try that. Oh, yeah. Okay, so what I want to point out here is just a couple of points concerning their lack of, at times where it was really important to the Lord. Now, you know, we have to remember that through all of these things, God's message to them for the world was great. God's message to them for the world was great. But they had been missing when he was in a situation that he wanted them to be with him. So this is Luke 9 and verse 30. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah, and appeared in glory and spake of his decease. Okay, so here they are, the Mount of Transfiguration, and the three of the disciples are up there with him, and Moses and Elijah appear, and they're talking about Jesus going to the cross. So if you will, Moses and Elijah are more in tune with his heart than the disciples. Okay. Now watch this. Verse 32. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. Did you hear that before? We're going to see it a couple of other times so we can really get an understanding of this situation. They were heavy with sleep. And when they awoke, they were awake and they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass as they departed from him, meaning Moses and Elijah. So here's the scenario. They're all on the mountain. Moses and Elijah appear. They're talking with Jesus about the cross. The disciples are over here asleep. Moses and Elijah finished talking. Jesus, remember, God's voice was there too. He had overshadowed the whole thing. Jesus' father was there. They're discussing the cross. And then Moses and Elijah start to depart. That's verse 33. They start to depart. And that's when Peter goes, they wake up and they go, hey, look at this great thing. We got Moses and Elijah. And see, all they see it as a wonderful event. Man, we're up on the mountaintop. We're with Jesus, and then we're here with Moses and Elijah. Hey, could we fix, you know, they're walking off. They are departed. Hey, hold up there. We'll fix you some booths. You know? You can sell little objects from them. I'm sure that's not the same kind of booths. Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Yeah. Okay. Well, if the name of the game is booth making for the ministry's sake, then it's good that you're here. But if the name of the game is to know the Lord's heart, you had the Father there when they're talking about, you had Moses and Elijah and they're talking about the cross, and you woke up after they got through and are departing and you're wanting to make some booths. hey, let's make this thing last. You know, this glorious moment. Jesus is glowing. See? But there's something going on in his heart that he's going to face that they're not in tune with. Okay, so I wrote, they fell asleep and left him alone during his agony in the garden. And they fell asleep during the important part and only saw a glorious event at the end of the Mount of Transfiguration. So these are both important places in the life of Jesus. Or can I say it like this? They're important places to the heart of Jesus, where he's at. And, you know, with all the training they've had, with all the things that they've learned, this is one area they didn't learn. They haven't learned. Okay. And I've written this before, but they missed eternal moments. Somebody remember a poem I wrote about that? And getting sleep was really important to them. Okay. I don't know why I feel like the Holy Spirit wanted me to just press this sleeping thing just a little bit more. Is that okay? Thank you. Thank you, two folks. The rest are asleep. I'm kidding. You should have seen what just left before y'all woke up. We were talking about that before the service began, and I think Jason was saying to somebody that he was a little tired, you know, that his work had been so-and-so, and I said, don't worry, when I preach, it's very peaceful. You'll fall right to sleep. Well, yeah, well, trust me. I'll keep on this until you wake up. Just kidding. All right, so this is Jesus talking about Lazarus's death, okay? Then said the disciples, Lord, if he sleep, remember Jesus said that, you know, Lazarus is asleep, and we're going to go to him, and the disciples go, now listen to their words. Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Do you get it? It's like, we love sleep. And we'll prove it to you again and again at the highest moments of your heart. We love it. And howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he spoke of taking rest in sleep. All right, so we do know there's a problem there. All right, so the disciples still know how to pray, right? They still know how to minister to the sick. They still can preach a message or minister a message to someone. But the result, there is a result of not learning the things of God's message to them. There's a result of that. We've actually seen some of them already in the scriptures, but there's a result of that. My first example, we'll go back to the garden, but this is the little further into the garden. This is Matthew 26 again, verse 55. And then that same hour said Jesus unto the multitudes, are you coming out against us as a thief with swords and staves? For to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple. You laid no hold on me. But all of this was done, that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Well, are we in the right place? Verse 55. Sorry, did I not tell you? Okay, see if you can guess which scripture I'm going to read next. I'm thinking of a scripture between Genesis and Leviticus. Let's practice. Oh, should I read it again? Because I'm a dummy not telling you the script, the verses. All right. In that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, are you come out against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple. You laid no hold on me, but all these things were done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. So, of course they did. Of course they did. Because they lacked the message that God had for them. And they learned with Jesus for 3.5 years to feed people and to minister to people and to talk with people and to share with people. But they, just like this situation, they didn't really know his heart in the time when he needed them to know his heart. Okay. So I'm not going to go through this because I'm still even more shaky right now. So I'm gonna just mention this scripture, and that's John chapter 20 and verse 24. And just this, and it's a progression. So I kind of want you to see. That's why I'm bringing up things like I'm moving along the timeline now, and trying to show things that are going on. And this is Thomas, and, you know, we get down on Thomas a lot. Thomas is my middle name. I know, it really is. Well, except I see the wounds in his... Anyway, so Jesus appears to the disciples. This is now, he has been crucified, and they're up in the upper room, and it's still the disciples. It's still the guys that walk with him for 3.5 years. It's still the people that know how to preach and know how to minister because they got all of that down. But they didn't get his message to them. And so Thomas isn't there. And so Jesus appears to them and talks to them. And then he goes away and Thomas comes in and goes, hey, what's the party about? You know, Jesus is alive. Oh, sure he is. Yeah, sure, guys. You know, where's the wine? when it's the new wine, amen. And so he says, I won't believe unless I see it. You know, the Lord's trying to speak not to our eyes so that it can go through our senses in some way and then be formulated through our head. But he's trying to reach us on a heart level. And we hardly ever really think, not us around here, but I'm just saying, we hardly ever think of the Lord and what situation he might be in. We always, you know, it's our situation. And I think modern-day Christianity has convinced us of that God's whole deal is if he teaches us how to pray for the sick or do counseling or do this or that or do that, that's where the big stuff is. But it's like, no. Then you can miss over and over and over the things when he wants you to be with me. You know, he didn't say, can't you just pray, period? Can't you just pray for an hour? No. He said it with ending with the words, with me, to be with me, with me. And those little words, folks, are so easy to miss, but they're clues to the heart of the Lord. And they'll draw us in more and more and more. So, I thought, yes, as those who walk close with Jesus, they learned a lot. Yes, as those who walked with Jesus, they did. They learned a lot. But what didn't they learn? What didn't they learn? And I wrote down, ask them now. Let's ask Peter. Ask Peter, when he said he would die for Jesus, let's ask him now. Let's see that if he is more in tune to the Lord's heart, you know, because failure can be your best friend, you know what I mean? It can wake you up. And let's ask John, who knew nothing of there being a wife of the Lamb. He just knew about Christians. He knew nothing about it. The wife of the Lamb. The very culmination and gathering into of what was in his heart all along. Not just save Christians and save, you know, save people and do all these great things, you know, and talk about the earth and what he did. But after the earth is gone, and, you know, an angel comes up and has to talk to John and said, have you seen the wife of the Lamb? He goes, I didn't even know there was such a thing. No. What? What? Well, of course not. You know, I mean, the Lord took care of my wife. You know what I mean? That's us. You know, the Lord took care of my wife. But then he's looking at a completely different picture of what this wrap-up is all about for the Lord. See, we're trying to figure out what the wrap-up's going to be all about for us. I'm going to go to heaven. It's going to be streets of gold. I'm going to be digging around a lot in the streets. You know, trying to... hey, it's time to worship Jesus. I'll be there in a minute, you know. Gates of pearls. I mean, can you see this big chunk taken out with this round place where a pearl was once? But it's about what he wanted. If you talked about what was valuable, is this to wake me up? Amen. So we get to that end and we see him on the inside of her, New Jerusalem, the wife of the Lamb. We see him on the inside of her. That's what we see in the book of Revelation. And then we see out of him, and the throne that he's on begins to flow out of her. Now, because he's in her as Lamb, because it's a Lamb on the throne that's in there. And it says that, slaughtered Lamb on the throne. And it begins to flow out to others, and it begins to be the healing to the nations. And then we realize, oh my God, it never was just power or anointing or this or that that's really going to be what's important to him when it's all over with, but that we learned the things of his heart and we became so attuned that we became like a wife. No, the wife of the Lamb. Wow, what an opportunity. What a beautiful future. You say, what's our future going to be? Well, it's going to look pretty good if you understand the relationship. It could be shocking on the other hand, you know. So, and then I said, you know, what didn't they learn? Ask the sons of thunder when Jesus is heading to Jerusalem to die. He's going there to die. But he has to tell them that they don't even know what spirit they're of. They've missed the message to them, even though they've had the message from him for others. On his way to the Jerusalem, he's going to die this trip. And he has to explain, look, you don't know what spirit you're of. You're of my spirit. You're of my spirit. You're not of that spirit. That's not you. That's not who you are. This is who you are. Now follow me and see what happens. I'm going to go to the cross. All right? And I wrote down, so what is it that they have been learning all those years? I mean, they've been learning something, but what is it that they have been learning then? Well, again, the ministry things that they learned. But it always will go back to, what didn't they learn? They didn't learn the spirit of Mary of Bethany. They fought that issue right there in front of Jesus. They didn't learn not to rebuke Jesus over his emphasis of the cross being in the center. Remember when Peter said, "Not so, Lord." Not so. Jesus came to his own disciples and said, "I'm going to have to lay down my life and I'll be cruelly treated and this and that." And Peter rebuked Jesus and said, "Not so." And they hadn't learned not to rebuke Jesus over his emphasis of the cross. And that's his life. It's not his mission. He is the slaughtered lamb, whether he's given yet or not. He is already given, if you will. And they didn't learn to put others first as they argued among themselves who was going to be the greatest. And then finally, but though the disciples missed it, they were given 50 days of concentrated effort for 3 years of being clueless. And my point of that is that I love the Lord. I do. And I don't religiously want to do everything right or be the perfect Christian, or I'm just not even wired that way. I'm sorry. I'm not. I'm so non-religious. It's ridiculous. But I love the Lord, and I want to know his heart, and he constantly is showing me areas that I missed his heart. He did one just recently that, and he's doing it on a regular basis. I'll just tell you. I was talking to somebody, and when I was talking to him, a car went by, and it was one of these new cars that they can really make loud. Anybody heard? If you've heard those, please raise your hand. Thank you. Okay. Would you buy me one of those, please? No, that's not my point. but it was just loud, and you could look, and it's a young guy going, "Yeah, yeah." And we invented muscle cars in the 60s, I'm sorry, but we did, you know. And you know, but it always bugged me even back then because, you know. And so the person said something, and I said, you know, there were guys when I was in high school, and they would just drive around the school and think that all the girls were just going, "Oh, make it louder," you know. Just to be honest with you, I was kind of mocking them and saying, you know, I didn't use this wordage, but I said, "Just what a bunch of jerks," you know. And later on, the Lord dealt with me, and you know, because I was talking about us when we were young, you know, and they're doing this and really looking, you know, trying to look cool, and I thought so less of them. And the Lord just broke in a few days later, and he said, "Well, you know, if you think they're jerks, think about being a young guy and getting into drugs and then selling drugs and then getting caught and then getting caught again and then going to court to face 25 years of prison. And that's not a worse jerk than these guys that go run, run, run." Do you see what I mean? Sorry that now you know my background. But it, you know, and I felt so bad because pro-self in there, you say, "Well, that was just little pro-self." No, no. And it breaks my heart because I know it breaks his heart. And it's, but it's for me, it's not just, okay, this is so hard to explain. It's not just, I didn't pray like the in the garden. You couldn't pray. I want to be with him. I want to be with him. And when I find out I'm not, it really, really touches me deeply. And I want him to keep touching my heart, because he didn't slam into me in that sense. I mean, he was gentle enough. But I want him to keep drawing me closer to what's important to him. And when I got to the end of this, like I said, though the disciples missed it all that time, when it came to the day of Pentecost and after that, he gave them 50 days, and all of a sudden everything looked different. They all of a sudden knew his heart more. They all of a sudden were more in tune. They all of a sudden had more of the Spirit. It was more life. They didn't have to change preaching. They already knew how. Thank God. Peter stood up on that day and gave it to them. You know what I mean? Everything Jesus taught them in the ministry was important, very important. So that wasn't the X, get rid of that. It was, let's stay with the Lord. He can turn the things that you struggle with so quickly. He can. It's just keep your heart. Don't harden up against yourself. Can I say that again? Don't harden up against yourself. Well, I failed so many times. Don't harden up against yourself. He loves you. And he will continually bring about opportunities. Because, you know why? Because what's in his heart isn't just you being a complete Christian. That's not, I'm sorry if you think it's all about individual you being a complete Christian. It's not. Because in the end, he looks like John must have from the mount. And he sees the wife of the Lamb. And that's going to be the end. Amen? I mean, that's what he sees. And he sees himself in her. And he sees his Spirit and his nature and his way flowing out of her and bringing healing. And that brings so much joy to his heart, his being. So instead of getting down on what we're not right now, make, if you have to do it, make every day one of the 50 days. And then the next day go, this is day one again. because we do incredible things around here. We get involved. We love. We pour out. We give. It's just incredible that what the Lord has brought together here and with you folks. And it's just amazing. But let us go on to know the Lord. Let us go, let us press on to know the Lord. For as surely as the dawn shall come, the sun will rise. Those scriptures come to me from time to time. And it's like, come on, let us go on. Let us press on to know the Lord. Forgetting those things which are behind. Make them behind now. You say, but I'm going to turn around and do it tomorrow. Stop turning around. It's behind you. You're walking into it again. Just press on. Add knowledge, and then add, remember it says that in Peter, and add this and add that and that. Well, add this. That we may be with his heart in the important times that are important to him. That would be a new plant that's starting to grow more in us. I would love us to pray that. Just that this would be like a new plant that he planted in us. And we want it to grow. And we want him to oversee it. The father is the husbandman. and the seed is Christ, and that he'll see to it that it come forth. Can we just stand together? Father, you are so kind. You are such a kind Father. I don't even know what to say, how deeply that affects me to have a kind Father. But I love you, and I love your Son, and we love you, and we love your Son. And Father, thank you for imparting to us the ministry to the saints. It's of you. It always will be of you. And we want an increase of your abilities and seeing and everything else in relationship to that. But today we are praying for a new seed to begin to blossom more and more in us. Concerning your message in us, not just to us, for others. Father, we saw how the disciples were true ministers. And yet, time and time again, they had missed your message in them and to them. Surely we've all done that, Father. But we ask for this seed, and we ask that it be not for ourselves, not for us, but it be for your Son, and it be for you and the Holy Spirit, and it be a new uniting of us with what you want in your heart and not just in your plan. And that Christ would be able to be seen in the scriptures, meaning that when he said, "Could you not pray with me for 1 hour?" It would just reach down and touch us deeply and say, yes, I can be with you. I will. I want to be with you in every opportunity like this, Lord. And so awaken us, awaken us, awaken us. Bring forth, and you've given us promises, and you gave us the promises in the book of Acts. Not promises, promises like what most Christians think. But the actual 50 days where it all turned. We're not looking for 50 days. We're looking for a turn in our heart. We're not chasing after plans. We're seeking to be brought in on a new level with you, Jesus, with you, Father, with you, Holy Spirit. Anyone else have something along that line or want to pray the same words? Just that prayer was for all of us. But
Father, we do love you, and we just want to say that we're sorry for neglecting you for other things, Lord, for things of ministry or just things in general, Lord. We don't want to neglect you. We want our hearts to be with you, Lord, in your things, and things that you desire, and the things that are important to you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And not just always thinking of our own stuff, even if that stuff is ministry or spiritual in our minds, Lord. We want to be with you, Lord. We want to be with you at the times that, Lord, your heart is grieved. We want to be with you when you're burdened, Lord. We just want to know your heart, and we want to be in tune with that heart, Father. We love you, and we're sorry for falling asleep in so many ways. And we don't want to just be sorry, Lord. We want to turn our hearts. We want to turn our hearts.
Hallelujah. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We do. Thank you.